All right, everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I will be your handler for this operation, and I am joined by my three friends, by my genuinely good friends. I'm joined, of course, by Dace, playing Benji.
Oh, cockles.
And, all right, that was one of the pre-show conversations. We can ask our fans about that. Where in the body is the cockles located? For those of you with a medical background, might be able to figure that out for us.
You win a and prize. Brad. Hello, you win yes. a prize from Dace if you guess correctly.
Ooh. It's the cockles.
It's the cockles. And of course, John playing Benedict.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Not as good as you, Master Handler.
That's not with that voice crack. That's No, it's you know, it's the end of the I measure my life right now in semesters. It's the end of the spring semester. Summer is upon us, or is almost upon us here in the Pacific Northwest. I actually wonder, like, wait. But for Jean, it's heading into winter, isn't it? Damn it, Jean, and yes. Your southern hemisphere.
That's fine. That's okay. I'll just be in upside-down world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Always.
Is there anything that you guys are looking forward to with the shifting of the seasons? Something that like always like gets you excited for this time of year?
Excited? Hell no. This is the worst time of the year. This is my life is about to be hell for 4 months.
Yeah, because of the intense heat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just starting to warm up here, and true to form, our HVAC condenser broke yesterday.
Oh, no.
Ooh. Well, at least it broke this early and not in the middle of it, right?
Like it did last summer?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's like people in other parts of the country that aren't so viciously hot have a much different relationship with summer. Like up here, everyone's just like happy and ready to go. Oh, it's going to be 80 degrees some days. Wow.
I like the longer days.
Yeah. Because, is that because you're typically nocturnal and that gives you more time to sleep?
That would give me less time to sleep.
If the days were...
Yeah, you're doing it backwards.
No, if the days were longer and you're nocturnal, you're sleeping during the day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I missed the nocturnal part.
That's why you're the Master Chief.
It's just nice to come home. The Master Chief. Well, it's just nice to come home and it not be dark. And I'm trying to run more. And I can't run in the dark. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a gym membership, and I don't do those.
Why can't you run in the dark?
Have you tried?
Well, it's not.
Is it because it's scary?
Yes.
Okay. That's fair.
God, and I used to work with a guy named Zach at the old print shop. And
the old sweatshop.
We were talking about the sweatshop. We were talking the same conversation. And he's like, yeah, I kind of like winter because it gets darker earlier. And that means you can start drinking earlier.
Wow. I forgot. I didn't remember saying that.
That is bleak.
That quote has never left me.
Wow, that is something else. God, Zach, God, wherever you are, I hope you figured things out.
He looks like he's
he turned his life around.
Okay, that's good at least. Yeah, well
it's a sense check.
Well, John, like, what about you? I know you bounce around. You know, damn, you know, Interpol's gonna catch up with you eventually, but not today.
Every episode transcript is going to have Interpol for International Police.
The Hague.
Thanks for that. Making my immigration so much easier. I'm looking forward to a little heater because it gets really cold and the houses aren't insulated. So we have a little gas heater. And it's actually kind of nice, except for the noxious gases, but it's kind of nice.
Except for the poisonous fumes. It's a great time.
A little bit of carbon monoxide, but it's nice.
Well, okay, so what do you think, where's the best spring that you've been? What's your favorite springy location? Because you've traveled a lot more. Oh. You've traveled a lot more internationally than the rest of us, so.
I follow winter, so I don't actually know. I don't think I've seen spring in the last 5 years.
Is that purposeful? That you follow winter?
It's just timing. No, it's just timing.
Mm. Okay.
I follow winter.
I follow the
John Luca story.
Well, wait a second. What if the winter's actually following John Luca?
Oh. Yeah, what, he's like that guy on Hitchhiker's Guide. Like that he's like a rain god, and the rain always follows him because it likes him so much.
Yeah.
You're the god of winter.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like the Wee Free Men.
I don't know what that is. Excuse me?
Did you never read that, Joe? Ratchet?
No, I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Is that something from Hitchhikers? I don't recall if it is.
No. That's a Terry Pratchett book.
Oh, okay.
So
The Wintersmith and We Free Men. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Great Terry Pratchett books. Hatful of Sky. One of the books in that series.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of shifting seasons, our team is about to have experienced their own... I'd say shift of a kind into a whole new type of season, to a whole new, thank you for that, into a whole new type of world here in Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. Our wonderful little crew, M-Cell, are they even M-Cell anymore? Who can say? The crew, Hank, Benedict, and Benji, have been, after leaving the Dorchester when they were returned to Boston, have had a bit of a... I don't know what the journey's been. It definitely has not been a straight line. You guys have been trying to find your way to the Hotel Broad Albin. You know that's where you're supposed to be going. You were told as much by a missive that you were actually sent by supposedly Abigail Wright, all the way back from 1995, who you'd originally investigated, who originally got you guys into this whole mess. You guys are trying to find the Hotel Broad Albin, and throughout this time... things have gotten complicated. It seems like Delta Green might have flipped on you. You're fairly sure about that. The authorities themselves have been kind of deployed against you as well. And the crew found out about some interesting interactions with some of the backgrounds in... some of the people in the background of Benji's history. And this play that was developed by a film student in Chicago... back in 2007 by this Victor Carell. The crew got up and left Boston in order to track this down and have been coming across more and more unnatural kind of incursions into the world. I believe it's been said, I think by Brad, maybe by all of you, I think I can remember Brad saying specifically, it seems that the world is becoming thinner, that the barriers between the worlds is becoming more and more less distinct. You guys escaped Boston. You came up against some fake cops, some fake police officers who you dealt with in probably one of the most competent things that you guys have ever done as far as the dealing with that.
I resent that.
You know it to be true, all right?
It may be true, but I still resent it.
You guys have made it to Chicago, and on your way here, there was something else that you guys did where you actually, Benji, using this kind of gift that he has found in himself after returning from the Dorchester, from the Night World, reached out to a demon to try to find some weapons. That demon ended up being none other than Axel Armstrong, originally a throwaway NPC character that was created many, many episodes ago. For all the handlers and DMs and GMs out there, don't give an NPC a funny accent unless you want them to be a permanent fixture. That's
make them as boring as possible.
That's my advice. So you guys interacted with Axel, but one of the things that you guys have had that's been happening, that's now come to a head, ever since you guys came back from the Night World, you have been seeing, and even back in 1995, you have been seeing these trench coat, gas mask wearing people. And when you came back from the Night World back to Boston, you've been seeing more and more of them. To the point where you have been, you actually encountered a patrol of them. You've been seeing them kind of here and there. And in the green box, you guys were given a VHS that seemed to show these gas mask clad figures actually running after some people and shooting guns into the crowd of this strange, unnatural screenplay in Chicago. Last time, when we left off, you guys had found your way to the theater, to the Golden Clown Theater in Chicago, which appeared to have burned down several years ago, boarded up, maybe a prospect for development. You guys broke in. And when you broke in, you found, you were kind of startled to find, you know, there were like some, you know, probably some homeless people, like, you know, like fighting in there. And you tried to break it up. And then this something else that you guys had seen, you'd seen this strange figure on fire when you were between Chicago and Boston. This man runs out and actually attempts to stab Hank in the face with a knife. You guys were able to kind of fight him off as he bursts into flames and disappears, falls down through the old stage floor down into the under area underneath the stage itself. And as this happened, you guys heard the slow, methodical clapping and turn around and see none other than one of these gas mask wearing, trench coat clad figures. Shotgun stuck in the crook of his arm as he claps his hand slowly and approaches you for the first time. Previously, it seems like these figures couldn't really see you or didn't really notice you. But now it's beyond question. And he says to you through his muffled gas mask, "Gotcha." So, that being said, right here at the top, before we really get into anything that happens next, what are you guys thinking?
He's probably a friend. We can probably...
He seems friendly. I think this is...
Maybe he still doesn't see us.
Gotcha!
Hank stays very...
I mean, he is on a, he is on a stage. He's T-Rex practicing vision. His little play.
He's a T-Rex.
Yeah, it's not
he
us.
Can't see
he's
it.
Running lines.
He's a T-Rex. He can't see if you don't move. Yeah. He's like, oh, where'd you go?
He's an extra in the play, and he's got one single line, so he just like gives it everything he's got. He's just like,
gotcha.
Ugh, gotcha.
Slow clap and everything. Yeah.
He's like way overacting.
Like Arrested Development.
It's a you fire. Guys, yeah. Sail!
Oh, God. You guys suck. That's... I just want you to know that.
Have we eroded all of your drama? I'm sorry.
No, I love it, though. Oh, that's good.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. This is a... This doesn't seem ideal. But
nope.
There's also just not enough information. We have no idea what's...
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll say I'm excited, because it does seem like a strong progression forward in the story, meeting this dude. Can you explain, just for tactical purposes, what is happening? So we have our guns out still, right?
Yes. I believe that we had said last time, and we should keep better track of this, I believe I said last time that I know Hank had his rifle. I think the other two of you, did you have long guns or did you just have sidearms?
I'm pretty sure we decided that we were going to suit up, right? Like we knew we were going in danger.
Yeah.
We knew we were going
okay.
in, yeah.
So we'll say...
So maybe shotguns.
Shotguns?
And stun guns.
So Hank has an M4. What weapons do the two of you have besides your pistols?
Benji pretty much always has that Carcosian shotgun.
Okay. And for,
silenced pistol.
Okay.
And stun gun. I think I also had an M4.
You had an M4 as well?
I don't
okay.
know if I brought it in. He probably would have brought
okay,
it
so
in.
Okay, so we have two rifles and one shotgun. All right. To answer your question, Brad, so you are in here, and this guy, Hank is still probably on the edge of the stage. These two guys are kind of... standing out in the small seating area. This is not a large venue. This is definitely like an old school kind of playhouse kind of thing. definitely mm-hmm. like a turn of the century kind of building. So it's not that large. And he is standing, maybe it was a fire exit at some point in time, kind of off to the side, but kind of towards the back. So it's kind of Hank at the front with the stages, these other two guys standing kind of in where the audience would be, and this guy's kind of on the other side of them.
Coming in from where we just came in. Like, he's coming into the...
Or maybe like a side door. He doesn't exactly have you flanked in or anything.
And he's just walking in, no obvious weapon in his hand? Or has he got a...
He has a shotgun. Like I say, he's clapping, but sticking under his arm, like stuck in his armpit, like in the crook of his elbow, he has a shotgun. Like, kind of...
Is he alone?
He appears to be alone, yes.
Well, can I make a check?
Yeah. Hank will do an alertness as well, I think would be very tactical and in character of him as soon as he saw someone else enter in.
I think that'd be pretty reasonable. So go ahead and give me those checks and tell me those numbers.
Both succeed.
Both you succeed. Okay. As far as you can tell, the both of you are immediately kind of on guard. As far as you can tell, you don't detect anyone immediately around. It appears that he is totally alone.
Okay. Can you see us?
Brilliant.
Jack, Jesus,
you know what? It's not a bad question.
Ask the enemy, can you see us?
There's a chuckle that comes from him as he pulls the shotgun out from under his elbow and reaches in his jacket. He turns the shotgun over and pulls out like two slugs from a pocket from the inside of his coat and loads them in the bottom of the shotgun.
Well, Hank will immediately take aim.
Hank, drop, get
him.
And
be like, hey,
yeah. Drop, stop that. You, stop that. Hank, get ready.
If you say him or you draw down on him, you hear again that chuckle and that through the muffled, and I'm not going to, I would love to hold my hands over my face to produce a muffled effect, but it's going to come through the audio sound like garbage. So just imagine it's muffled. And he says, through this kind of muffled gas mask, you hear, you're dead and you don't even know it yet. So, at that point, is going to break to his left and attempts to dive behind, like, a bench seat.
Can...
What?
You guys can go...
Gonna give some sort of bad guy speech?
Nope, that's not how this is going.
Okay, what kind of cover do we have?
Well,
it doesn't sound like anyone's standing in any damn cover, does it? But
Hank
I would
will
say
take
anyone
a shot
who is,
if he could.
Yeah, anyone who's pointing at him right now can... Yes,
before...
Dace.
Shouldn't we roll initiative if he's going to start acting? Or not roll initiative, but go by initiative order?
Well, you're going to get the opportunity to shoot at him first because he's...
Yeah, this is better, Dace.
Yeah, this is better. Do you just want to go initiative order instead?
Well, but
because I'm going to give these guys an opportunity to gun this man down first because they're literally pointing at him.
I don't know. I was just hung up on that because I halfway wanted to try to restrain him and take his gun away, but you said he's not much of a talker, so
no.
Yeah, fuck it, let's just kill him. Let's just play like a video game.
Dual
wield. I pull out my needlers.
Okay.
Is there a warthog
nearby? Is there a banshee? Okay, Hank, go ahead and... Who is shooting?
I will.
All of us, I guess.
Is everybody going to gun him down?
No, I think I'm going to get a stun flashbang ready.
Okay. Hank, go ahead and give me your attack.
Success, firearm, roll. And I'll roll 1d12 for damage, right?
Yes. So you need to go ahead and roll that d100.
Oh, a d100?
Ooh,
yes,
wow.
to attack. To tell me if you hit
damage.
Or not.
Oh, I thought the firearm is what I'd roll.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you got the firearm.
Oh, did you pass it? Sorry.
Yeah,
I
he got
you.
It. Yeah. He got it.
Okay.
then 12 damage. Sorry, 11 damage.
11 damage.
Yeah, nice.
See you.
Good shot.
Wow, that is actually really good. Okay.
And did you say he's diving for cover?
Yeah, he was kind of like, it was very clear to you immediately that he's like, it's go time. He's just standing there and he's attempting to dive for cover so that he can get a, so that he can, you know, probably begin firing upon you. Okay, so 11 fucking damage. That's actually pretty spectacular. So something interesting is going to happen here. Actually, does this guy have any body armor? Do we? Does not look...
1920s gas mask.
1920s gas mask does not provide a lot
provide.
Of body armor, no. Let me see here, whatever that was. Whoops. So, you guys... No matter what the other two of you, it's not really going to matter, because, you know, Hank fires, you know, two rounds. Ba-bow! And they are expertly placed center mass in this individual, even though he's diving for cover. And he slides to a stop behind the piece of cover and lets out one quick groan as his hand releases on his shotgun and kind of drops it. Hank, you think you've dusted this guy.
God damn, Hank.
You
blew that motherfucker out of the air like a skate.
Do we need a double tap? I've seen a movie. They say you always double tap.
I saw this documentary once. They always advise the double tap.
I'll stow my needlers and teabag
him. Benedict. Yeah, go over there and search him, and Hank's going to still, like, kind of survey the room to see if there's any more. There might be more of them.
All right. Okay, then we'll probably take out a handgun and just double check and see if basically walk up tactically. And see if he's okay. Hey. Hey, wake up.
Yeah. Hey, is he asleep?
He's so sleepy.
He's just so sleepy.
So sleepy.
Yeah, so as you walk up, you see that he is indeed kind of laying on his side. He has one hand to its destroyed solar plexus, but it is limply hanging there. He is not breathing. About that time... Hank, from behind you, through the door that the original attacker had come on the other side of this large hole, you hear the door being kicked in, and you turn around to see an almost identical looking person wielding a shotgun in a trench coat with a gas mask, and he laughs as he kicks in the door, doesn't even know he's dead yet.
Hank will scream out, "We got more of them, boys!" And he's gonna try to.
They brought out the understudy.
I think. I guess it'd be Hank would shoot again. I mean, shit.
Okay, so we'll at this point we'll actually go into the combat turn. So it's actually gonna be Benji's gonna be up first.
How far away is he?
From you, he's on the other side of Hank. He's probably, we're going to say, probably about 10, 15 meters away.
Okay.
What is everyone's dex, actually? Everyone give me your dex score real quick.
14.
12.
14.
Okay. Okay. So, yes, go ahead for Benji.
Yeah, I'm just going to roll my shitty firearms and hope I get lucky.
Okay.
Fail here. 90 over 23.
Yeah, that's... You know, luckily, you didn't actually attack... or you didn't actually accidentally hit Hank because he is between you two. So, yeah. You are able... You blast off a few shots. Don't actually hit anything. So, Hank, what are you going to do?
Hank's going to fire at him.
Okay.
The guy, he's gonna fire at him.
Okay.
Oh, it's down here. Success, 31 under 62.
Nice.
We'll try this D12 again. 4.
Okay. This time you sink another round in this guy. It does not seem to go quite as clean as this one. You hear a kind of oof as he takes the round. But then we are going to go to Benedict. Benedict, what would you like to do?
I think also just heavy pistol.
All right, just going to take that shot. Are you using your original heavy pistol or the one you found via the green box?
Yeah, maybe the silenced one. That makes sense. That is a failure.
Okay. Another two rounds go off, kind of, and, you know, between you not trying to hit Hank and everything. You know, and this guy's ducking and dodging. He is going to take a shot at our good friend, at our great good friend, Hank, via a pump action shotgun. So let's go ahead and roll that roll. You guys ready to be shot at for one of the first times?
Oh, that's not good.
This could be bad.
Can we opt out?
No.
We were just joking.
Oh.
It was just just a clever ruse.
He's just sleeping.
He's all right. He's all right.
Okay, hold on. I'm actually struggling to get my my thing to work here. Could someone roll me that D100 real quick?
What do you need?
34.
Ooh, that's no fun. All right. Then I will roll the damage die. How much damage do you guys think a shotgun does?
It's so far away.
Mm-hmm. So far.
None. Near to zero.
So not 2d8. That's not what you're saying.
No.
Because that's definitely what's about to happen.
2d8?
Do you need me to roll that? That hurts.
Is that what all shotguns do?
Yep.
Fuck.
Yikes. This could kill Hank.
This could kill all of us.
Yep. So I am actually wondering real quick, and Hank has on a piece of body armor, does he not?
Yeah.
We all should, shouldn't
Let's
we?
Get it up.
Yeah, did you guys all... Yeah. I think you guys all did probably put on... I think it would be reasonable to assume that you put on your vests and whatnot. I am trying to find real quick what
tactical body armor.
Tactical body armor. Do you have a
I don't have
amount of
stats on
damage
that.
Resistance on that?
Uh-uh.
Let me try to find it in here. It says on page 99. Did I just miss it? Oh, here it is. So if you are wearing a vest. You said body armor. It has a 5 armor rating. So we're going to give that to you. You're wearing basically like a law enforcement. You guys are all wearing like law enforcement plate carriers.
That just deducts 5 from whatever damage.
That just deducts 5. Unfortunately, this weapon does also have some armor piercing. So let's see what happens. We're going to roll these 2d8. Let's see where we go. That's a 9. So you have 5 armor, but then it pierces 3. So... that is going to be... Oh, no, there is no armor piercing on that. Pardon me. So we're just going to straight up subtract 5. So take 4 damage for Hank. How's Hank doing?
He's got 5 hit points.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, man. We got to take this dude.
So I guess Hank definitely hits him in his armor. He just, you know, kind of leans back and maybe stutters and falls a little bit on his ass. Yeah.
At this point in time, the wall to the left of you guys, as you're coming in, you're looking at the stage on the left side, the wall splits in the middle and begins to slide apart. And you see that it is not so much of a wall as it is like a thin theatrical facade of a wall that appears to be on wheels on to be able to move quickly in and out of scene. It slides apart, and you see another one of these shotgun-wielding people on the other side of it.
There's always been 3. This might be the last 2, though, and every time we've seen them.
Is this a straight-up ambush?
Did we say that the guy who was on fire, he fell through the floor?
Yeah, he did.
Would that be a fatal drop?
No fun drop, that's for sure. But he also had a knife, so... So what are you guys going to do? I kind of need to know what's going to happen. Things are getting hot.
Well, it's not Hank's turn, right? It's
Benji's turn.
Yeah.
I haven't had a turn yet.
No, wait. No, you did. You fired and you missed. You had a turn. It just sucked. I did.
Fine. I'm not good with guns. I'm good with words.
I'm thinking... I'm going to try to shoot one more time, and if I don't hit, I'm going to have to change tactics.
Okay.
Okay. Firearms, blah, blah, blah.
A success?
Oh, shit, success. Hell yeah, Benji.
Benji's not super good at firearms, but here we go. Go ahead and roll me the damage for that. Do you have that in front of you, or do you need that?
Well, it's a shotgun, so you said it's 2d8, right?
It is 2d8. Go ahead.
Fuck yeah, 7.
7 damage. All right, after the damage he had taken previously, Benji fires 2 slugs. Boom! Boom! The second one smashes this guy. It hits him in the gas mask, and you see one of the lenses burst open as he falls backwards and grabs his face and rolls into the hole. As this happens...
I am become death.
Oh, say that again, you broke up.
I am become death.
Okay. as this happens, that wall that just slid apart in the middle, you see, as soon as that happens, you see out from the darkness run another masked figure. This one again chuckling as he goes, as he dives behind one of these like pillars kind of holding up the ceiling. And so as Benji lays that guy down, darting from around this, you know, facade wall, that's like paper mache wall. And now as you look at it, you realize it doesn't even look like a wall at all, now that you're close to it. You think it might look like a real wall if you were in the audience 20 meters away, but you don't even know how you thought this was a wall originally. As this guy darts from behind it, you know, and gets behind one of these columns.
So, Benji just killed one, and now we have... Right. Another one that popped up, so 2 total, kind of on the stage area. Okay, yep. Gotcha.
All right, Benedict's gonna shout, guys, get up! We need to get out! Let's get to the hole! Down the hatch!
Yeah, I guess Hank is a little startled because he just got shot in the chest, so he might try to...
It's a little bit flustered.
Yeah, he's like, Hank will yell, retreat, retreat! And he'll... try to run back to the van.
The van? Benedict's, I don't know if we have direction. An exit route, do we?
Well, I'm assuming it's kind of like a stage like this. Hank's here, y'all are back here. These guys came from the stage, so if we run back up the seats, then that would be back towards the van and out of the theater.
Are they coming in from the stage side?
They're coming in from the side. You know, as if you were facing the stage, they're coming in from the left wall, which has slid apart. Unnaturally so.
Literally like a part of the audience? Like in the
like
audience?
A part of the wall has slid apart. Now, you guys could definitely not walk out. I don't suggest you walk. Don't meander out. This doesn't seem like the time or place. You guys could definitely exit out that way.
Hank will... can Hank take a brief alertness to see if he can see where they're coming from as he runs out? Like, let's say does that make sense? Like, he's looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
This might be a bad Sandy thing, but I am curious to see if they're coming from from the hotel brought album or something.
Go ahead. Let's get that alertness check.
Success.
Okay, go ahead and roll that sanity check.
But what does he see?
Roll the sanity check, damn it.
Success. Okay, it's a success. 642. All right,
take one unnatural sanity point of damage. You see that beyond, it's very, very dark directly behind the wall. And you see, you are just barely able to make out what appears to be just beyond the wall that has slid apart, a curtain hanging down to just about 6 inches above. It's like a beautiful burgundy curtain, like at a big old school stage, and you see, you're just able to make out behind it, you think, dozens of pairs of boots standing Jesus. Just behind the curtain, oh, like they're ready to pop out at a moment's
Jeez.
Notice.
Okay, well, Hank will run extra fast now.
Get out!
Wait a second. So that was... So who laid that guy low? Was that Benji? Benji killed the guy.
Benji.
So it's now Benedict's turn.
He's going to run for it. Try and run for the door.
Okay, you're going to try to run back the way you came. Okay, cool. Are you going to try to make an extra super mega fast run?
Yes.
That requires a dexterity check?
I shall try that.
Okay, let's get that dexterity check.
I need to re-log Discord. Just assume that Benji does whatever the other two do.
Okay. Right,
okay. That is a critical success on my dexterity.
Critical success. Okay.
He does a little curtsy and then a fucking cartwheel and then jumps into a sprint and then on his tippy toes.
you pirouette out the door.
And Joe needs to roll for sanity at how good
And
that
Joe
was.
Needs to roll for sanity. No, Benedict is going to Benedict takes off. And instead of, you know, having to dart around, you know, these chairs that are kind of set up, Benedict is able to kind of just hurdle over them in turn and able to go, you know, and so you actually, you know, cut out a significant amount of the space that you have to overcome. And Benedict makes it all the way to the back of the theater and is able, maybe there is like a small kind of, looks like it might have been at some point in time, maybe some type of kiosk or, you know, stand where you might buy cigarettes or snacks or something. There's like a small counter there, and Benedict's able to get all the way to the back of the theater, and not only are you all the way to the back, you feel like you have a significant amount of cover from any of these people that might attack you.
Okay.
So you think you're actually in a superior position to return fire. Go ahead.
He looks for cigarettes, and then he also tries to get a bit of cover to prepare the next shot to give them cover.
Okay, you have the cover. There are no cigarettes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's in the book, man. What are you expecting to do?
You need a smoke, Benedict?
No, it's for you, Benji. Now get the fuck out.
All right. These guys are going to... The one that appeared at the beginning of the last turn, he is going to make that attack. And I believe, unless I'm mistaken, let me reference some of my super secret notes.
Well, boy, I think it was worth it to do that little alertness because I did think there's only going to be three of them.
The first one is going to take a shot at Benji. You can see Benji as he draws down on you. You can see that his eyes behind the lenses are wide open and red. Like, not like bloodshot necessarily, but not like glowing or anything. But his eyes are like... Like, there's something wrong with him underneath the mask, like, physically. He's going to make that attack towards old Ben Jannon. Let's see what we got here. That's a 78. He takes two blasts. Boom! Boom! Benji is kind of like, you don't really have any cover, necessarily. But this guy just does not get a good beat on you. The second one is going to take another one of these blasts at Hank. Hopefully it doesn't hit, because Hank is not doing well so far.
Shit.
Ooh, that's a 19.
Fuck.
That's a 19.
No.
So we're going to do this 2d8. We ready? Ready to see what happens here? Because what's the worst that could happen would be that we get 16. And 16 minus 5 is still going to be 11 damage.
That's
right?
Not
How much
great.
Health does Hank have?
5.
Ooh, it is not looking good.
You got to kill Hank.
Oh.
All right. This is the game. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no.
That.
Minus 5 fuck. Is 5 on the dot.
One moment.
So Hank's at zero, right?
Yes.
I believe that does put Hank at zero. Let's see something here real quick. Because unless I'm mistaken, this is not Dungeons and Dragons. There is no recovery. There is no falling between. There is no... what's that thing you do to save someone? There's no saving death throws or anything like that, if I am correct.
No. No, Hank!
Because I believe that that means that you are dead. But I am making sure I actually find the rules in here, because I want to make sure, because we've never done this before. We've never killed someone in Delta Green, but I'm having a really bad time finding it. But I am 99% sure that this is the case.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Damage.
Are we all frantically Googling?
Let's see. If an attack brings your agent to zero hit points, he or she is dead.
Yeah, I see the same thing.
HP do not go below zero.
Oh,
on page 55.
Oh. Well,
of the agent's handbook.
It was a good run, Hank. That was fun.
Fuck me.
I need you to... give me Hold on. Give me a sanity check for Hank.
It feels like you're abusing the corpse.
Failure, 60. Over 41.
Is he insane? Before he dies?
Is Hank going to hell?
Okay. So I rolled a 10. We're just going to remember that for the time being. Hank goes down. The shotgun blast does not, the pellets from the buckshot do not hit, or some of them maybe they do hit Hank's body armor, but at least one of the slugs, at least one of the lead pellets goes directly into his neck as he falls down, his M4 bouncing off the ground. He falls to the ground, eyes wide. Benji, you observe this happening as your eyes lock with him. He's standing on the stage, going down. So,
can I? Okay, if I'm going down, can I just just for drama purposes? Can I say I'm just looking at them and just shake my head like this.
He's just shaking his head no. As Hank is holding his hands to his destroyed jugular,
trying to yell something, but I can't even say anything.
Nothing's coming out as the bright red blood is gushing between his fingers. Hank's eyes wide as he goes down. Is just shaking his head no at these two guys.
Who's gonna feed all them grown homeless men?
Okay.
Damn.
Benji, what do you do?
Shit is real.
Yeah.
Yep, Benji, get out.
Run. I'm just running.
All right. Are you gonna run mega fast? Or are you just gonna run?
I'm gonna run with the fear of God.
Well, you act like there's something going on here, like there's something scary.
A whole fucking platoon of gas mask, shotgun wielding murderers.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the red eyes? Are they like meth Nazis?
They're good old fashioned Blitzkrieg guys. Okay, so you're gonna run up back towards Benedict. If you want to make it past Benedict, if you want to try to start getting out towards the van, you're going to have to make that dex check to get that far.
Oh, fuck.
If you just want to get to where Benedict is, you don't have to make it.
Oh, shit.
Where do we think the keys are?
It was Hank.
Ooh, who was driving?
It was Hank.
You know the answer to that question.
Well, Hank was in the police, was in the other car. He was in the police car before you guys got here.
No, we ditched the police car.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you burned it. Who usually drives?
It's either me or Hank, but I think it's Hank.
Why don't we roll a luck roll? This is a barbecue sprout luck roll. You want a below 50. Are we ready? Let's see.
All right. Who's
oh,
82?
I got an 82. Shit.
Well, I rolled it. Like, I rolled a 20. I thought I was rolling it.
Sorry. I don't know.
How about let me roll and it'll be a tiebreaker?
Okay. Yeah, we need to make sure we say who's going to roll it.
Okay.
31. Wow.
All right. Benedict.
Supernaturally.
They're jingling in your
Benji
pocket.
Benji finds the keys in his pocket. Yeah. He's like,
that
what
was
the hell?
That was Hank's dying
He pulls
action.
Out the keys and throws them to Da Vinci. All right. Benji, you have keys, I guess. So you're going to try to make it up to... Do you want to make it all the way past Benedict and try to get started outside, or do you just want to make it to Benedict?
Try to get as close to the van as I can.
All right, make that dexterity roll. Let's see if you, how fast, how far you can get.
Okay. Dex, here we go. Success, 49 under 70.
All right. Benji does something similar to what Benedict did. He's, like, leaping over these chairs and stuff. Benedict, he, like, busts through the doors behind you into this kind of weird, like, in-between area. You see that, like, because at the front of the building, there was, like, this kind of plywood construction wall. You now see that the plywood construction wall has been pushed aside and standing there right at the entrance as if designed, as if directed, as if the prop manager himself had put it in just the right place at just the right time, is the van waiting for you. And Benji's able to get out in? Just to it. Do you want to go ahead and get in now?
I'm going to get in the passenger seat because I don't know how to drive.
Okay.
Start the car at least, God damn it.
Okay, yeah.
Or mount the machine gun.
Well, the machine gun is not currently put together. You have to put
it's
the barrel.
Not really set up. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to install the barrel and everything. Okay, you get out on the street. You get out on the street, Benji. You bust open. You see the construction wall's gone. I imagine Benji doesn't even take time to consider this. He's just like, "Fuck it," and he just runs. Benji, you open the door and you sit your ass down and close the door. And you realize that the van is only like a cardboard
Jesus.
Cutout of one side
you
of the van.
Son of a bitch.
And you're now sitting in a folding chair where the seat should be.
Oh my God.
What?
You absolute son of a bitch.
Oh God.
You turn around and
where everyone dies.
You turn around and the...
What unholy death trap is this? How is this survivable
this is
in any form or fashion?
Benedict, what do you do?
I think he's going to throw a stun
grenade.
Check
Hank's body and see if it's ketchup on his neck.
I think he's freaked out, so he's going to throw a stun grenade and hopefully catch both of these guys in the radius.
Okay. So you're going to do that instead of moving?
Right. I was thinking...
Nope.
Throw a run.
Nope. Run.
Get back.
Okay.
Get back.
You can make it out to... how fast do you want to go here?
Regular fast.
Okay. You get out, and the thing is Benedict, when you walk out the door, you run out the door, you see Benji is sitting in this really, really obvious cardboard cutout of the Jambulance. But his eyes are wide, and he turns and looks at you. What does Benji say as Benedict comes out?
Benedict, I think I'm having an acid flashback.
All right.
Get the hell out of that thing. Let's go. Let's run on foot.
Down the street?
Which Benji does.
Okay, yeah.
What else are we going to do?
About this
is
time...
Is it a street?
Is it a street?
Is it a treadmill?
You hear behind you. You hear the sound of gunshots. Both of you have already exited the area. It seems like they're kind of blasting after you as you go. As Benji and Benedict begin to run down the street, there are people on the street, and you guys begin to run past them. And you guys are wearing body armor. One of you has a rifle, and the other of you has a shotgun. And you guys are desperately running. I mean, you just saw someone get gunned down. One of you just killed a man. And you guys
not just someone. It was Hank. Hank got gunned down.
You guys are running, and people are you know, like, oh, you know, they're like kind of diving out of your way, you know, or like kind of crouching down, like, oh my god, there's someone with a gun. I imagine you guys do have FBI written across your chest, so maybe that's a little different for them.
Can I do an alertness while this is happening to see if they're
absolutely you can acting? Go ahead and knock out that alertness for Benedict. Love where your head's at, Jean.
You they seem fail. Way too happy he about that.
Fails. Ooh, buddy.
He fails.
All right. You don't notice really where they come from, which might be beneficial in this particular case. You guys duck around an alley and attempt to kind of like, you know, get away from your pursuers to kind of break line of sight. And you see that the alley, which you expected to be the two of you, you expected to be kind of abandoned, you see is actually filled with what looks like workmen. And they're all walking towards you, like in your direction. They're wearing like heavy boots and coveralls and like, you know, heavy denim coveralls with like matching like denim hats, like caps, like work caps. And they're carrying ropes, and you know, like there's like two of them like carrying like a piece of wood between them. You see that there's a few of them that seem to be moving some type of large one of these painted backdrops that they appear to be kind of moving past you. So that was what Benedict was doing, and Benji has come after you. So there is going to be, at this point, you hear the sound of yelling behind you, and I'm going to actually roll some rolls for our pursuers here, our wonderful, wonderful gas mask clad gentlemen. Let's go ahead and roll those. Let's see, we got one and whoa, okay. One of them maybe gets caught up, you know, it's like, but one of these guys is booking it after you. You know that critical success that Benedict had? This guy's matching that pace. He's got the shotgun in one hand and is just like Terminator running after you guys. And Jesus. as these workmen, you know, like are kind of coming, he like just like shoves them out of the way like a football linebacker, just blam, just like smashing them left and right like a snow plow going through people, just like a cartoon almost. All right, you guys are continuing to run through these guys, and I'm gonna say that, let's see, which one of you is it going to be? You guys get to the end of this alleyway, and let me roll a dice here real quick. Let me see this. Okay. Benji, you're slightly behind Benedict here, okay, as this pursuit is happening. What's your dodge skill?
Let's see. My fingers are sweaty. 33.
Okay. As that happens, one of these, from behind a dumpster, Benedict runs past, and one of these figures jumps out in front of you and slams into Benji. Benji is pushed to the side and is about to collide with the brick wall of this alleyway. But instead of colliding with the brick wall, he falls through a paper, you know, one of these paper, like, prop walls, and falls to the other side.
Last time we were behind stage, we ran into the clown.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. What is... Benji, as you immediately look around, when Benji looks up, he sees that the hole in the wall is not there, and that he is apparently in some type of, like, there's like a small dresser with, you know, a mirror and lights all around it, like a dressing room almost. That's what it feels like. And there's a light knock on the door, just that the most gentle of knocks. Benji, as you look up, you have your shotgun, you're sweating, there's hors d'oeuvres on the small table. What does Benji do?
Tell me more about these hors d'oeuvres.
how dare you?
Who's out there?
You hear a man's voice. It's me. I have something you might want to see. And underneath the door slides like a packet of papers. It looks like they're stapled together. He says, I think you'll be perfect for the part. You see it slide underneath, and you hear the sound of someone walking away from the door.
Fuck it. I'm not even going to try to open the door. We all know what's going to happen. He's just going to be gone. Well, let me take a look at these papers.
Okay.
Wait, where's Benedict at this moment?
Don't worry about Benedict. We're talking about Benji right now. Not everything's about Benedict.
How much time has passed? I'm just confused.
Benji, you approach... Are you going to go for the piece of paper that's been pushed under the door?
Yeah.
You pick it up. And over the front, it appears to be a script. And across the front, the title is Her Grey Song by someone named B. Paget. And you see that inside, you flip through and there are some underlined parts in red. All the parts that say, for the character, the king. What does Benji do?
I mean, he reads the script. What do the parts say? What do the king's lines say?
This is definitely the king in yellow, written in a theatrical manner. Uh-huh. This is something that Benji is very familiar with. About that time, you hear at the wall that you burst through, you hear the sounds of like the wall being banged down. You see a brick fall out. As Benji turns his head quickly, you see through this hole where one of these bricks has just fallen out, you see a gas masked eye, and then the sound of what sounds like several sledgehammers as the wall is being beaten down behind you.
Benji will open the dressing room door and try to escape.
Benji went through this wall
like it was paper, and now it's like brick again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Benji, you open the door and burst out to find yourself again on the street, and this time about a meter right in front of Benedict, who is just, who all of a sudden is just like, ah!
What?
Oh! You know, just like all of a sudden in front of him. Okay, let me go ahead and get those, are we just going to continue to try to escape here, or are we going to turn around and try to engage some people? What's going on for Benji and Benedict?
We're still running, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Benedict panicked, so he's probably going to be running.
All right. Let me roll a dice real quick. Are you guys running mega dexterity fast or just regular ass fast?
Just regular ass.
Okay. You guys are running regular ass fast. As you do, you guys are cut off very suddenly. And, you know, maybe pulling out of a little side street is a taxi cab. Taxi cab pulls out, and you see the driver is one of these, at first, you know, appears to be just like a regular, like, kind of cabbie. But it becomes very, very apparent very quickly that their face has been drawn on a flat wooden, like, facade of a human head that just kind of peers up at you and gives you a pantomimed middle finger as if you're the asshole here for getting in the way. And piling out the other side is Hank Ellis.
What?